Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Riles, your host of the Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our program today features a recent speaker at our Slidell Ministers Association meeting. Hope you enjoy it.
One of us is just a grand lady that's a part of our group, and it's Lisa Page. And she's been faithful to be here. And I asked her if she would share her testimony. It just so happens that she's running for political office. She's not giving a political speech, all right? She's here to tell us about Lisa, okay? So with that said and done, I want to turn the platform over to Lisa right now. Give her a big welcome. Lisa, please.
I just want to thank you all so much for allowing me to come to speak to you this morning. Again, my name is Lisa Page, and I'm from a real small town in Indiana. It's called Warsaw, Indiana. It's about the size of Slidell. I had two wonderful parents growing up, wonderful parents. We lived right next to my grandparents. It was a lot of fun. I have two brothers. Just really had a positive, great, great childhood being, you know, right next to my parents. We went to church on Sundays. That's what we did on Sundays. You went to church.
Yeah.
Church is important. You just went on Sundays. Education, extremely, extremely important. When I started school, my parents noticed I would come home from school from 3 o'clock until the time I went to bed. I would do homework. They would sit down with me. Mainly my dad would sit down with me and do homework. And I was getting C's, barely. And my parents are like, what is going on? So they met with my teachers, kindergarten, first grade. And my teachers are like, I think she's doing the best she can. And they're kind of like, and she's getting C's and we're doing all this. Something's going on. And then my older brother, who played baseball, football, basketball from the time he got home until he went to bed, never opened a book, and all A's. Maybe a B every once in a while. My parents would go to his teacher conferences, and my brothers would tell my parents, gosh, you know, I know he's getting all A's and a B, but we think he could do better. They're like, something's going on here, and something was going on here. In the fourth grade, I was diagnosed with a learning disability, a specific learning disability, dyscalculia and dyslexia. My elementary school principal called me down to his office after they'd had an IEP with my parents. We had IEPs back in 1981, just like we do now. And he just told me, he said that he was wonderful, wonderful principal. And he told me that, you know, that I would be going to resource class and it was nothing to be embarrassed of. This was just something that I needed to do in order to get the help that I needed. Just like he had his reading glasses, he had to wear his reading glasses in order to read. I needed to go to the resource class in order to get the help that I needed. And it really wasn't a big deal. It really wasn't. I had a wonderful junior high and high school experience and everything was rocking and rolling. I had two great parents, two wonderful but ornery brothers. I had an older brother, of course, that was very smart, and then I have a younger brother that's real sharp too. So just everything is going well. I went off to college. I went to a small school, very close to Warsaw, because my parents thought that's what could best meet my academic needs with my learning disability. And they had a real small program for that. This is about 1989. But when I got there, Manchester College was by no means equipped to help me with what I needed academically. And I struggled. I struggled hard academically. And my self-esteem was zero. So I just started making some really poor choices after poor choices after poor choices. And people around me were making all these poor and poor choices. And again, because we just kind of went to church and there was never really any depth to any type of relationship, you know, that's what I kept reaching for, poor choices, poor choices. And I just felt hurt and broken. In the meantime, I decided I wanted to get my master's degree in counseling. You know, I'm searching, searching. So I was accepted to Mississippi State University, and I went and got my master's degree in counseling. And then I met my husband, David, who was at church all the time. That's all he did. He went to church on Wednesdays. He went to Bible studies. He went to church on Sunday nights. I was like, what, Sunday nights? We watch football in my house. This was completely a new concept to me. And he said, no, honey, it's not just about going to church on Sunday and going and singing hymns. It's about a relationship. And then in 1993, I rededicated my life to Christ. And soon after that, my husband and I began dating. In September 23rd, 2001, Caleb was born, my oldest son. And then in April 2003, my youngest son, Joshua, was born. They're only 18 and a half months apart. And life was good. Life was really good. I was leading Bible studies, and I was president of Mothers of Preschoolers, MOPS, mentoring college students with Beth Moore College or Beth Moore Bible Studies. I mean, life was good. It wasn't perfect, but it was good. It was really, really good. But there was one problem that we had that we couldn't quite figure out. Caleb wasn't talking. He wasn't talking. And I noticed from the time he was an infant, getting together, of course, for Bible studies and play groups with my friends, I noticed that Caleb's eyes just didn't track like my friends' kids did. It was just odd. And he couldn't transition. Like, we'd be at Chunk E. Cheese, and he couldn't transition to go to the car like my friend's kid. It just seemed like he just got so upset, anything out of his routine. And he would line up his Thomas the Tank engines. Just they had to be a certain way. And if his younger brother, Joshua, would come by and accidentally bump them, he would become unglued. That was something that we really started to notice. We would also notice with the tantruming. When Joshua was disciplined, Joshua would tantrum, of course, like they do, after you discipline them for about 20, 30 minutes. And he was fine. He's fine. He went on to go play outside. About 2 to 3 hours, Caleb would tantrum after being disciplined. Inconsolable. We weren't quite sure what to do. We were just praying about it. Caleb started speech therapy at Cypress Cove, and it went well. It went really well. We started to develop some language, but not like Joshua, who was reading, speaking in complete sentences, doing all these things that were advanced. My husband and I prayed about it, and we decided we really wanted to get a handle on exactly what was going on with Caleb. And so we went to a child development, the best in the United States. We went there, and we met with an entire team. Excuse me, I went there and met with the entire team. Caleb and I did for 3 days. Caleb had all this testing. I had answered all these questions, all these evaluations. And at the end of our stay there, I met with this team, and they sat down with me and told me, Mrs. Page, your son has autism. I was like, my son has autism? And they said, yes. And immediately, of course, you just feel like the wind has gotten knocked out of you. But we came back to our hotel room, and I pulled out my Bible and literally opened up my Bible to this verse in Esther 4:14. And who knows that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this? We were not going to let Caleb's autism let that defeat him. We were going to be like my elementary school principal told me with his glasses, that it was just something that he needed. And so we did. So here we are today, Caleb and Joshua. That's Caleb. Today, Caleb is doing very well. Caleb is in the regular classroom. Caleb has a 3.77. He's in Beta Club. He is in band. He's in Key Club. He's driving. My neighbors say he drives better than me, and they're probably right. I'm trying to get better, But, if we would have not had that solid foundation with Christ, I don't think we would have made it. And Joshua, just continues to do well too. He has an extremely high GPA. It's over a 4.0. I'm not allowed to say it. It's very high. He's involved in band, Beta, Key Club, ROTC, golf team. But if it would not have been for our fate, I just don't think we would have made it. So I just wanted to leave you with this scripture verse as I close today. to be encouraged. It's with the children of Israel. Then Moses and Aaron fell down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Joshua and Caleb ripped off their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we have traveled through and explored is a wonderful land, and the Lord is pleased with us. He will bring us to safety into the land with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." Amen. So I just wanted to encourage you all to don't be afraid and to realize the Lord is always with us. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text. If you have comments about today's programming, something that you heard that was of interest to you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can leave a comment. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this station. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.